Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're grateful you're here today. Praise the Lord. Praise God for a good woman, huh? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And my wife is reminding me of some things she said I need to tell y'all. Number one, we got a great picture this last week on the internet from a couple that when we were in Norway, I guess it was the first time we were over there. We've been over there about four times, I think, four or five times, I forget. The Lord sent me over there to teach the word just like I teach it right here. It was a pretty intensive thing because it's a good thing I'm still a young man, you know, because, you know, we get up early in the morning and we go to the TV station and then we teach the word of God for 2 hours. And then we pray for people for 2 to 4 hours. And then we go to lunch in the afternoon, just in time to get back that night to preach another 2 hours and pray till about midnight. We've done that 12 consecutive days in a row with no break. In the daytime, normally in the mornings, we were only speaking to 50 to 70,000, but at nights we're speaking for 100 to 150,000. And so it was a big, big audience out there. And I was teaching them things that they had never heard. You know, I mean, they were just awestruck. And so we got a lot of good reports from some people because the first 3 days into it, there was people thought I'd lost my mind. I mean, there was men that were pastors that called in that said, you know, this guy's the worst teacher you've ever had. I mean, you ought to take him off the air. Well, that's when things started happening. That's when people started repenting of their sins. When they heard the truth of the God's word, they started forgiving their brothers. They started believing for prayer, and they started calling it. And we begin to see miracle after miracle, healing after healing, and it's just awesome things that took place. And so, of course, the man, his name's Jan, that owns the TV network, and when some of these pastors got with him and told him that I was the worst preacher they'd ever had on the air over there, they need to take me off. He said, look, I've had you guys on for years. I hardly ever see anybody repent of sin. I don't ever hardly see anybody ever get healed. Nobody ever calls, confesses their sins or forgives nobody. He said, if you guys are saying this guy's got false doctrine, he said, send me more of it. He said, I need this. He said, I have never seen so many people get delivered and healed and so many miracles. And so he said, no, this guy's teaching the word. He said, what he teaches is exactly what God's word says. And so anyway, I thought, wow, you know, it's kind of like Paul, you know, when he went and preached the gospel, you know, they all wanted to kill him, you know, they wanted to crucify him, you know. So I thought, well, things hadn't changed much, have they? And so this last week, we got a beautiful picture of this couple from Norway. And they said, you know, when you were here, we heard these kind of things like we had never heard that we needed to repent of sin. Said, we had one child, which the doctor said we should never have had that one. You know, it was just one of those freak things, but that we would never be able to have another child. So when we heard you preaching, we came down to the station. We came up for prayer, and we realized we had a lot of sin in our life, so we repented of all our sins, and you prayed the prayer of faith for us and said, my wife got pregnant in 2 months, and said she had this beautiful baby girl, I think it was a baby girl, said we wanted a girl, and so we prayed for a girl, and we had a beautiful baby girl. And so here's a picture of our first daughter and then our second daughter, and now we want you to know that my wife is in well into her third child. And so it's not going to be long till we're going to have 3 babies, and we just want to praise the Lord for y'all's ministry, because if it hadn't been for y'all teaching the truth, we would have never had the faith to believe for another baby, so we would have been only one child in our whole life. And they were so happy because they had 2 and fixing to have the 3rd one. But I'm telling you, isn't it wonderful to serve a God that answers prayer? I mean, I love serving a king that answers prayer. And we really got to see him answer a lot of them. Well, here just a few days ago, Cheryl and I went up to Mom's Cafe. Of course, Mom, the lady that owns the cafe down there, she's a great Christian woman. She loves God with all her heart. And as we were sitting there having dinner, one of the young men, you know, that's a waiter in there, he's all excited. He has lost his wallet. And I said, well, how did you do it? He was all excited. And he said, well, I was working on my truck, and I was laying on the ground, so I pulled my wallet out of my pocket, and I laid it on the front bumper. And then when I got through working on the truck, I forgot to get it. And I drove off with it on the front bumper of my truck. And he said, who knows where I lost it? But he said, I've lost it. And, of course, my lovely wife said, well, have you prayed about it yet? And, no, I don't believe in those things. In other words, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in it. So Cheryl said, well, we'll pray. So he just walks off. And so mom comes over and she said, well, I heard what you said. So why don't we just hold hands right here in the cafe? Why don't we just hold hands here and pray? And she said, would you pray lightly? Because I have some people in here that might be offended. I said, no, ma'am. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to pray lightly, Mom. I said, I only know how to pray one way, and that's loud and out loud, and everybody in here is going to have to hear it. So I said, if you want to pray, pray silently or quietly, you're going to have to do it. So she said, okay, then I will do it. So we held hands, and she prayed. You know, you could hear her talking, but, you know, she wasn't bold like me. She don't just jump out there and, you know, do like I do. But she prayed a beautiful little prayer that the Lord would send an angel or whatever and bring his billfold back to him, that he would know that the Lord did it. 30 minutes later, he had left work and went to a filling station, and this guy walked up to him and said, you know, you look like the guy in here. Did you lose your billfold? He said, this guy was a complete stranger. I'd never seen him before in my life. But he had my billfold, and he gave me my billfold, had my driver's license, credit cards, and everything still in it. And so we said, well, isn't that wonderful that God did it? He ain't too sure yet. So every time we go in, we kind of say, well, you know, isn't it wonderful what the Lord did for your billfold? And he's beginning to get it, that God did do that for him, because it was such an awesome thing. You know what the chances are of you losing your billfold and Justin off the front bumper of your truck driving down the road, and then somebody you never seen just walk up to you at a gas station and say, did you lose your billfold? Do you know what the chances of that are? I mean, they're astronomical. But with God, nothing's impossible. Yes, Joseph? He does things when we pray. He does awesome things. Miss Bobby was telling me a story there a while ago. She said, did you see a certain story on Sid Roth this week? And I said, yes, I did. And it is a good one, so I will tell you what. If you didn't see Sid Roth this week, and some of you probably didn't, but there was a meeting going on, and I forget the evangelist's name, but anyway, he was preaching, and all of a sudden, the Lord just prompted him to stop right in the middle of his message, and he said, I want to pay off anybody's debt that will jump up and come running down here right this minute. So he stopped and said, you know, he said, the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, anybody that's here in this meeting that wants their debt paid off, jump up and run right down here. And he said, nobody said anything. And said, everybody's just sitting there. And said, all of a sudden, this one woman grabs her husband, jumps up and said, well, I'm going to come down there. And she grabbed her husband and drug him down there and said, if nobody else is coming, we got a big debt. I want mine paid off. So this evangelist said, I prayed for them. And they went back to the seat, and I started preaching again. No, not another single person came down, only this one. So he said, you know, I mean, did we see anything? No. Anything happen in the supernatural? No, not that you can see. Not on our side. Not. But anyway, so the when the payment for that loan came due, the woman, which now is back at home, she goes down to the bank, and she says, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, and I want to make a payment on our loan. The lady pulls it up, and she looks at it, and she said, oh, that loan's paid off. She said, what? She said, it's paid off. She said, who paid it off? She said, well, I don't know. Let me get the supervisor, the manager, or whatever. And so they got the supervisor, and the supervisor came out, and she says, who paid this loan off? And he said, ma'am, you did. She said, what? He said, yes, and I'll just use the second, like the second of the month. On the second of the month, which is the exact day that she was in that meeting with that man, that day you walked in here and you gave us the cash and you pay. I was the man that took your money. And she said, oh, okay, good. And she walked out knowing that when she was in the meeting that the Lord had sent an angel that looked exactly like her and had paid off her note. Isn't that awesome? I mean, what can our God do, folks? I mean, we need to get a hold of who this God is. You know that? We really need to know what God can do. So, you know, but here's the thing. How many people's debt do you think in that room he wanted to pay off? All of them. He could have done the same thing for every human being in that room, but nobody but that one woman had the faith to go do something. Isn't that kind of the way we are? You know, I remember when Jesus walked up to the little man that had been sick 38 years, and what did he say? Would you like to get healed? Is that what he said? Richard, is that what he said to him? Yeah. Would you like to be healed? And of course, what did the guy say? Oh, yes, sure, I want to be healed. Is that what he said? No. What did he say? Oh, he said, you know, whenever the waters are stirred, there's nobody to put me in the water. I can't be healed. You know, does that sound like us? I mean, Jesus is wanting to do things for us when we operate in faith, and we don't operate in faith. We have so much unbelief, it's unbelievable. I think it's time we get over that unbelief, don't you, Jeff? We need to get over that, realizing who our God is and what He's done for us. And I just stand in awe at what our God is doing today. And of course, there's a lot of good things going on in the world and a lot of bad things going on in the world. Last week, I told you all about the potential earthquake, the volcano, rather, in the Canary Islands. Well, of course, the guy last week, it was a week ago when I heard it, he said anywhere from 7 to 10 days, it could very possibly, that big thing could blow over there in the Canary Islands. But there was another one of the scientists I was listening to. He said it may be 2 or 3 months before it blows. But I thought about how these guys, they know from this seismographic activity that there's going to be something happen. I always come back to Mount St. Helens. You know, did they say Mount St. Helens is going to blow? Yeah. I mean, did we believe it? No. There were some people that even lived on the mountain that said, these guys are crazy. I've been living here all my life. This mountain ain't going to blow up. And there was a few of them stupid enough to stay on the mountain, wasn't there? I guess they're still buried there under tons and tons of dirt. They won't ever have to worry about leaving, will they? Because did it blow? Boy, did it blow. It blew the top. I forget. You remember how many 100 feet it blew off the top of that mountain? It was heard around the world. It was an awesome thing. You know, it's amazing how these guys, they don't know the exact time that these things are going to happen, but at least God has given them the knowledge and the instruments to warn us that things are going to happen. So, I mean, it's kind of like the story about the guy says, Lord, I know you'll save me. I know you'll take care of me. And so there came a big flood. You know, everybody's heard this story, I know, but it became a big flood. And so this guy gets up on the roof of his house, and here's the flood. And a guy comes by in a little rowboat, and he says, sir, get in the boat, and I'll take you to safety. He said, no. He said, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. Well, a little while later, a motorboat comes by, and he says, sir, get in the boat, and I'll take you to safety. He said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. The water gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And finally, a helicopter comes by and says, grab a hold of the rope, and we'll take you to safety. He said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. And he wouldn't go, and then the water ran over the top of the house, and he drowned. And he went to heaven, and when he got to heaven, he said, Lord, why didn't you save me? You promised to. He said, son, I sent 3 different people to pick you up, and you wouldn't go with any of them. So he said, welcome home. Is that kind of the way we are? He gives us a brain to do something, and that's just like over there in the Canary Islands. It has not blown yet, but they still say it's very likely to blow up. And, of course, when it does, it could be very devastating. You know, I mean, it could be awesome. And I hope it don't. I don't want to see people die. You know, I just don't want to see that. But they say it could be. But this week I have heard from several sources. In fact, you know, a month ago, just about a month ago, I think, really pin it down, it's just a little less than a month ago, what began to happen in the United States of America that was something that you've never seen before? What happened? Did anybody see the people begin to meet on Wall Street? You begin to see the protesters show up. You know, I mean, you don't see much about this on the news, do you? Very little. But, you know, that thing has now grown. Now, of course, Eric Cantor, he is in Washington. He says that Obama is behind this. You know, he's one of the big wheels up there in Washington. But he says Obama is the one that's behind this. Now, if he's in Washington and he says that Obama's behind this, he's in a position to know something I don't know. But I know I wouldn't doubt it. But in the last 4 weeks, this thing has grown to almost 1,000 American cities. I just heard last night the mayor of New York make a statement. Now then, the park in New York where all these people are meeting, these homeless people, it is a total disaster. I mean, the park is normally cleaned every night. But they've so many people there, they can't clean them, and they won't let it. So It's absolutely awful, the trash and the junk that's in the park. And the mayor of New York said last night, we're not going to tolerate this nonsense any longer. Monday, if we have to go in by force and to remove them, we're going to use force, if necessary, to kick them out. Anybody heard this?
The Marines are going in.
Is that what you heard? Wow. Okay, now, that puts me on a whole new page. But anyway, I did not hear that they're going to use the Marines. Now, I didn't know what the mayor meant when he said we're going in with force. But you heard they're going to use the Marines. Okay, now that brings a whole new thing. Now, that's going to really make me say something that I may be out there in left field. But if they're going to use the Marines to go into the parks in New York because of the people that's there, and they've had some rioting with these people, these are not good people like the Tea Party people are. And this is a totally different race of people. I mean, all the people in the Tea Parties, you know, they clean up after themselves. You can have half a million of them in Washington, D.C., and when they leave, the place is clean. You know, they didn't leave any debris. Nearly everybody was Christians. They walked in obedience to God's word, and so there was no devastation. But this bunch of people that's doing protesting all over the United States right now, it's a totally different race of people, and they are not Christian people as a rule, most of them. And so they're doing all kinds of devastating things. And now then, if they're calling in the Marines to stop this in New York City, I can tell you for sure that there will be a riot. Do you believe that? If they go in, there will be a riot. Now, if there's a riot in New York City, do you think that riot's going to be contained only to New York City? No. It's going to happen as soon as they hear it. It's going to happen in every city. They're going to start tearing up things, kind of like they did in L.A., you know, a few years ago when they tore up the whole southern end of L.A. And I don't know how this will affect people, but as a Christian, here's something I would recommend. If you don't have food and water stored up for at least a month, tomorrow, or this afternoon after you get out of church or sometime, but at least by tomorrow, you go somewhere and buy enough non-perishable foods that you could feed your family for at least 1 month. And if nothing happens, what can you do with non-perishable foods? You can eat them. Okay, so it ain't going to be a loss, right, brother? And now what if something stupid does happen, then you can't get to the grocery store, then you're going to eat them anyway. You know, and that's, you're going to be glad you have them. Because what I'm asking you to do as Christians is not something that's crazy. Because if you go out and buy yourself a month or whatever, 6 weeks worth of non-perishable foods, and then if nothing happens, well, you just open a can of stuff every day and put it in your pot and heat it up and eat it. You know, so you haven't lost a thing. You know, but if the world goes crazy tomorrow, and I had not heard that about them going to use the Marines. The only thing I heard him say, Monday we're going to use force. Now, I don't know what that meant. But now that you said they're going to use the Marines, wow. Anytime we start using the military to control people in America, you're going to have a problem. And, of course, I have believed this for a long time, that is the elitists that are running the show right now with this president they've thrown in there, Obama. He's just a pawn. He's just doing what they tell him. That is their goal, to try to eliminate us, the hardworking people, and especially the Christian people. They want to eliminate us. So, you know, but I got news for them. I love Dave's shirt that he had on Saturday or whenever it was. It said something like, the power behind me is greater. What did that say, Dave? Where did he go? Huh? Oh, okay, yeah. The power behind you is greater than the task in front of you. Okay, so who is the power that's behind us as Christians? Our Lord, of course, our Lord and our God. You know, our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Provider. He is everything. And if we walk in obedience to His Word, it's amazing what He will do. Just like that story that Miss Bobby told me a while ago when I saw it on Sid Roth. I can only imagine the people, if there was anybody else at that meeting that owed a debt, and I'm going to tell you there had to be somebody else there that owed a debt, But they didn't have the faith to get up and do something, and so they got left out. Now they can look back and say, oh my goodness, if I had only known. Well, see, when a preacher does something stupid, believe it is from God. You know, I mean, I remember we were up in the Northeast one time, and we'd never been to this camp, never been back. But we were there, and there was, I don't know, 100 people there, I guess, at the meeting. And I'm standing up there teaching all these people. I don't know none of them but the man that invited me up there. And, of course, I only had met him through telephone. So when we got up there, I'm teaching and preaching to 100 people that I've never seen before in my life, up somewhere close to New York. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, there was a man and his wife and his mother-in-law come in, and she was walking with a cane. And she was crippling along like this with that cane. And she goes and sits down there about three or four rows back. And I don't know them. Don't have a clue who they are. And I'm preaching, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, son, the woman right there in front of you with the cane, I want you to go lay hands on her right now. I want to heal her. I mean, to a bunch of people I'd never seen before. I stopped right in the middle of a message, and I said, you know, this may be a little unique, but I said, the Lord just spoke to me, and he told me to walk back here to this woman that's right here, the woman's got the cane, and he told me to lay hands on her and pray for her, and he's going to heal her. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. I said, okay. And so I just said, thank you, Lord, and I turned around, walked back up there. I'm sure a lot of people thought, you know, this guy's crazy. Nothing happened that we knew. Nothing. Well, when the 2 hours of teaching was over, they got up and went home. She walked out with her cane, just like she came in. You know, I didn't think nothing about it. I just thought, when the Lord speaks to me and tells me, I'm going to do what he said. I don't care how stupid it may seem or look to anybody, I'm going to do what he tells me. And so that evening, whenever we had the services again, when we came back in, that woman came back in without a cane, just walking like this. Boy, I mean, she was just on fire. I mean, I thought, wow, look at you. She said, man, after we went home today, I got to feeling so good. I told my son-in-law, I don't guess I need this cane. She said, I laid that down. And she said, I haven't been this strong in years. I thought, wow, is that awesome? I mean, do we serve an awesome God, Eldon? I mean, he's awesome. So why don't we believe him more, Jeff, huh? I can remember a few years ago, if I'd heard that voice, I'd have said, Lord, I'm preaching here. I couldn't possibly think I'm crazy. But I'd seen him do enough things by this time that, hey, I've learned when God speaks to you, you do what he says. It don't make any difference how crazy it may seem. And, of course, as I have done those kind of things, I have seen him do some of the most awesome miracles and healings for people. It's just amazing, you know. And, of course, now then that I've learned his word, I know he doesn't expect to have to tell me everything. I've already told you in my word. Just like with my granddaughter, you know, when she got killed in that car wreck 10 years ago, I pleaded with the Lord, Lord, tell me, why did this happen? And he never said a word, not a word. I said, okay, Lord. I said, you made me a promise in John 15:7. You said, if your words remain in me and I remain in you, I can ask you anything and you'll do it. So I said, Lord, I'm not hearing a word from you, but I'm believing your word is true, so I'm going to go in there and I'm going to take John 15:7. Look at this verse. Put it on the board so they can see it. Look at John 15:7. This is an absolute magnificent, awesome verse that God put in there for every one of us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't that an awesome promise? So I just walked into that room with my little granddaughter, 3 years old, tore all to pieces. I mean, her skull was crushed, and her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her brain stem was severed. I mean, Dr. Marks, head of neurology, and two other doctors done complete diagnosis on her, and all of them give me the same results. Every organ in her body is damaged, all of them. Her right knee is crushed, and her left leg is broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. There's absolutely no way this little girl can live. It's over. And I said, if it's over, then Jesus shouldn't have put John 15:7 in the word. And so I said, Lord, I stand on that. And I praise you and I worship you and I thank you for raising up. You said I could ask what you will, what I will. So, Father, I want that little granddaughter of mine. I want her little face put back together. I don't want a scar on it. I don't want a scab to form. I want skin to grow back to skin so there's no scabs, no scars. I want her to be beautiful when she grows up because I know how girls are. They want to be beautiful and smooth. They don't want to be all scarred up. especially on her face. So I said, Lord, I'm standing in the gap for her life. And I just worship. I walked up and down beside that bed. There she's laying there all swelled up, head's that big and all red and bloody and cut and gashed and everything else. And I'm just walking up and down. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Lord, I worship you. I stop once in a while. I kneel down on the floor and I said, Lord, I worship you. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I know nothing's hard for you. I worship you, Master. And I would just do that. And I'd walk up and down beside that bed. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Lord, you are so great. And then I'd sing some kind of a little song and I'd praise her. And about 10 hours later, this lady walked up to me and she said, sir, I have never seen what I've seen today in my entire life. I said, what do you mean? She said, I've never seen a man that lost his wife and his daughter the same day and his granddaughter. And the granddaughter is laying here and the doctor's told you she's not going to live. And all you've done is quote scripture and walk up and down and praise the Lord. I said, ma'am, and you're going to see the greatest miracle you've ever seen in your life because I've done this. This is what he told me to do. I'm just obeying my master, my king. And of course, today we all know the results. 10 years later, she's 13 years old, runs and plays, ain't got a scar on her face nowhere. You know, she's a beautiful little girl and she's awesome. But do we serve an awesome God? Yes. Who made me that promise? Jesus made me that promise. Do we think he's big enough to back up his promises? Oh, yes, he can back up his promises. I guarantee he's an awesome God. Wow. So, I don't know. I know that the world is in judgment, and I know that that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want us to go to that scripture a minute, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want us to look at this, and I think it's time that we really do this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are we? Are we his people? If my people, he didn't say the people of the world. He's talking to you and me. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, the name of Jesus, we shall humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I'm telling you, folks, that's where we are today. It's nothing wrong with God. The problem today is us. We are not the church he wants us to be. We're not walking holy. We're not walking in obedience to his word. I mean, you look at the church, we got as many sins in the church as there is in the world. I mean, you know, we can go out and look, and of course, when it comes to sexual sin, you know, we got so many people in the church. In fact, I taught on a healing school here a while back that if you got a child that they're over 6 or 7 years old, you don't never want to leave them together with another child that's of the opposite sex at that age. Don't go to the store and leave them by themselves. And I said, because, you know, the average child has watched too much television. They understand and they know about sex. And I said, they're going to do it. And, of course, and I had a woman and her husband come up. She said, you know, if you'd have told me this a year ago, I'd have said you're crazy. Absolute crazy. But she said, the other day, we have a 10-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter. And we left them together while we went shopping. And she said, when we came home unexpectedly, I opened the bedroom door and there's my son and daughter in the bed together in the act of sex, 10 and 8. She said, I would never have believed they would have done that at that age. I said, ma'am, kids today watch too much television. They hear and see all about sexual things and we don't teach them the truth. I can remember when I was reading the book of Proverbs to my children, my daughter was about that big. And I'm talking about prostitutes because the Bible talks about a prostitute. And my little 6 or 7 year old daughter asked me, Daddy, what is a prostitute? I had to tell her. I told her in plain English. You know, and I remember telling her that, you know, as a female, you've got parts that God put that you keep hidden all the time. And nobody is to touch those parts. Nobody but you. You know, you're the only one. And I said, you know, little girls have got breasts also, and they're not to be touched by a boy, you know, until you get married. You're to keep yourself clean and pure. I laid it out just as clear as I could because the Word of God is teaching my children what they're supposed to know. And so I'm not saying like some parents, some people, well, you know, you'll learn about that later. I can't tell it to you now. I'm telling you, you better tell them, because if you don't tell them, they're going to learn it from the wrong source. They're going to learn it at school or somewhere. Somebody's going to tell them. And, you know, they're going to learn it the wrong way. So you better teach them right. Anyway, after I taught my daughter that, I remember one day we was in a car with a station wagon, really, with some of our best friends from the church. And they had a son that was about 2 years older than my son. Now, my son was 2 years older than my daughter. All three of these kids were in the back seat, and actually it was folded down, so they were in the back just sitting back there playing while we were in the front. We had the front seat up, and the front seat ran up, and then the next seat, and my wife and I were sitting here, and him and his wife were sitting here, and we're driving along. All of a sudden, my daughter screams out, "Daddy!" I'll just use Bob for a name. It wasn't the kid's real name. "Daddy, Bob just touched me on my private parts." I mean, the daddy of Bob knew exactly what that little girl was talking about. He called, "Bob, how dare you? Don't you touch her no more." Oh, boy, he jumped back. I mean, you talk about stopping things. But here we are in the car together, all of us, driving down the road, and he is trying to fondle my daughter somewhere, touching her somewhere. And if she hadn't have known that her daddy told her those parts are not to be touched by a human being, she might have let him done it. But see, the kids in the church is no different than the kids in the world. Until those kids get saved, and then until you train them to walk in the things of God, they're going to live in the world because they're flesh. Is that right? Yeah, that's exactly right. And some of us have not been trained even as we got a little older, so we were still involved in all this sex outside of wedlock, even in the church. And we wonder why, when God says, "I will judge every act of sexual immorality in my church." That's why we got so many people sick and afflicted, because they have not obeyed God's word. They have not done what he says. Well, let me tell you today, you need to train your children about sexual things yourself at home and not leave it up to a school teacher or somebody else. Because when they get old enough to go to school, they better already know what it's all about. You need to have trained them yourself as the mother and the father. It's best if the mother can train the daughters and if the daddy can train the sons. But if he can't be like that, then daddy's responsibility is for everybody. He is to be the guy that teaches everybody, including his daughters, about their bodies and how they work, and what our king expects them to do with their bodies as little girls and little boys. But if you don't train them, guaranteed they're going to go wrong. They're going to go wrong. So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen this week. I never know what's going to happen unless God tells me. But there is a possibility that something serious could happen. Now tomorrow, you know, we're scheduled to fly out of here in the morning to Lodi, California. We're going to preach there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then we're going to fly back Saturday. Of course, we're going to fly our own plane. You know, so Cheryl asked me, said, "What if we get out there and they declare martial law?" I said, "Well, they'll have to stop me from getting to the airport, because if I get to the airport, I'll fly home in my own airplane. You know, I only have to stop one time for fuel coming home and one time going out there. It's because it's about a 7-hour flight from here to San Francisco. We're going just to the east of San Francisco. We'll be there for 4 days, you know, and then we'll be home Saturday. So I'm going, you know, if something happens, I'm going to believe God's going to get me home. You know, if he don't, how many times can we die as a Christian? Only one. Your physical flesh can only die one time. If you get killed, you know, it just was meant to be, because God's in control, isn't he? Yes, I think about one of the greatest men, you know, that almost died as a young man. Do y'all remember David, what's his last name? The one from New York? Wilkerson. David Wilkerson. And, you know, God sent him to New York to do a work for him, and he didn't like New York. I can understand that, because I didn't like New York either when I went up there. And so David came back and was going to go to Mexico, I believe, or somewhere as a young man, wherever it was. And he told the Lord, "Lord, I don't like New York. I know you sent me to New York, but I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm not going to be up there in that cold weather and all that stuff." And so he started to cross the bridge to go into Mexico. And the Lord says, "You cross that bridge, you're a dead man. You won't ever be using me for nothing no more." I mean, somebody said, "God would never do that to him." Oh, yeah, he will. He will. I mean, if God calls you to do something and you turn your back on him, hey, he'll go ahead and kill you. He'll take you right out, you know, because he has a plan. Well, David Wilkerson heard God, and he realized that if he crossed that bridge, he's going to die. So he turned around and went back to New York City. And did God use him mightily there over the next 40 or 50 years? Yes, he did. And then David Wilkerson happened to come to Dallas here the other day, not too long ago, at 79 years old, and was in a truck car wreck and was killed in a car wreck right over here in Plano. Was God through with him? Yeah, 79 years old. He was still in perfect health, preaching the word, going all over the country, everything. But God was finished with David. When God gets through with you, he's through, isn't he? Yeah. So who's in charge of the church? The Lord is, yeah. So don't get mad at God when he tells you something. You know, he has a plan. You know, God has a plan. He's the one running the show. So regardless of what happens, you know, I never get excited at God. I never get upset with him. You know, I don't make what happens. A lot of people ask me when my wife and daughter got killed in that car wreck, "Weren't you mad at God? You were serving God and your wife and daughter got killed." I said, "No, he's running the church." I said, he said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that I'm no longer my own. I'm bought with a price. Is that what he said? So who do I belong to? Jesus. Can he do what he wants to with his own? Yeah, sure he can. And so it's not my job to try to act like God. So I just praise him and thank him. You know, I just praise and thank and worship the Lord that he is such a mighty God and that he knows everything that I don't know. And so I don't get upset with him. I do know that out of my wife and daughter getting killed in that car wreck, I do know that when we had the funeral over at Lakeland Baptist Church, we had the largest crowd that had ever been in Lakeland Baptist Church for a funeral for my wife and daughter. That church had over 850 people in it that day in the main sanctuary. There had never been that many people in that sanctuary since it had been built. But it was at a funeral, my wife and daughter's funeral. And, of course, I told Dr. Ben Smith, he's a great friend of mine. He's a pastor, was a pastor. He's since retired. I told him, I said, "Ben, I said, I won't do anything stupid, but I'll be sitting here in front. I want this to be a worship and praise thing. I don't want it to be sad, so I want everything to be glorious." Because I said, my wife and daughter's gone home to be with Jesus. And I said, they're happier today than they've ever been. So I said, I'm going to miss them, but I know they're happy and they wouldn't even think about coming back to me. But I said, God may have another plan. I said, now if he does, and he tells me to go up there and open the caskets and raise the two girls from the dead, I said, I will do it. But I said, if he doesn't tell me, I won't do it. Because I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. And so I sat through the whole thing, and of course at the end of the sermon, Ben says, you know, Thurman is probably the greatest man of faith I've ever known. He said, I am very uncomfortable when I'm around him because I never know what's going to happen when I'm around him. But he said, Thurman, you challenge all of us. And he said, I ask you to continue to do that. Continue to challenge us with God's word. Well, that's what I have done, and that's what I'm still doing today, and I love seeing God do all these great and wonderful things he does. Don't you, Lori? He's an awesome God, isn't he, girl? Oh, my goodness gracious, he's awesome. And, of course, I'll just tell a quick little story about her husband, Joseph, there. Joseph, he's a great man of God, too. And, of course, at the fair, he works at the Better Businessmen's, what's the name of it? Yeah, it's a booth for the Full Gospel Businessmen. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. And he goes down there every year to fill in for somebody when somebody can't make it. He'll go down and run the booth for them. And, of course, all they do is talk to people about Jesus. Well, he had one boy come up this last week that in 2006, I think you said it was, this young boy came up and he didn't know anything about Jesus. Joseph told him about Jesus and got him saved. And he was back this last week telling him that he is now a youth leader in his church. And so, you know. And then he told me about two homosexual boys that come up and ask him what he thought about homosexuals. And he told them that he loved homosexuals, but, you know, God, it didn't matter what he thought, but God hated the sin of homosexuality. And the scriptures are very clear that he said, this man says, well, you know, but our church we go to says homosexuality is okay. And Joseph said, well, you know, don't make a difference what your pastor believes. It only makes a difference what God says. He said, now let me show you in the Word right here in these places where God says homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he said, if you die in this sin, you will go to a flaming inferno forever and there's no way out. Both those boys got saved. So see, when we tell the people like it's written, does our God show up? Yes. Who would have ever dreamed, just like the young man that in 2006 would now be a youth leader in a church, that Joseph led him to Jesus when he was lost as a goose. But that's the way all of us get saved. Somebody tells us and the Holy Spirit moves on us and then we get people in church and then who does the work? Jesus does. The Holy Ghost does the work and he makes us what we are. All of us are here today because we're children of the Most High God. Is that right? Yeah, we love Jesus with all our heart. And I will say we love to see him do his mighty, wonderful miracles and healings and those kind of things. We love it when he shows up to do that. But we really love it when he shows up to save souls, don't we, Joseph? That's why we really love it. We are all to be out there producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Now then, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, or 4, I mean. What? Hey? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Before we go to Galatians 4, I want to talk about this a minute. What are we going to do? I want y'all's input. How should we do this? I mean, I don't want to just pray a prayer here. I have learned in my life the power behind fasting and prayer. I can remember the first time that I fasted 3 days. I mean, I remember what it did. And when I took time to fast and pray and study the Word for 3 days, it so increased my anointing that when I was told that I learned the Word in Matthew chapter 17, these men tried to the disciples, they tried to cast out a demon and they couldn't cast it out. And so Jesus came along and of course he didn't have something very nice to say about them. He said, you perverts, how long am I going to have to put up with you boys? He wasn't too nice to his boys. He said, bring the boy to me. And of course he cast out the demon and healed the boy. And then they said, Lord, why could we not do this? And he said, because of your unbelief. He said, now a lot of people think this is a demon he's talking about. And it may be, or the unbelief, or both. It makes no difference. It could be either way or both. This kind of either demon or unbelief goes out only by prayer and fasting. Well, when I finally got a hold of that one day, I'd been in the Baptist church all my life. I had never fasted one single day in my life at that time. I didn't know what it was to fast and pray. I had never done it. And some of you may be there right now where I was many years ago because I had been in church. I had never prayed and fasted. You know, I'd read the scriptures where Paul said, I pray and fast often. But, you know, I thought, well, I'm glad I don't have to do that. You know, that was Paul. He had to do that. I don't have to do that. But Paul was seeing all the miracles and the healings and raising from the dead, and I wasn't seeing nothing. You know, so I never put that together until finally I thought, okay, if Paul prays and fasts often, did Paul raise a little boy from the dead that fell out of the window? And was he excited about it? No. You know, what did Paul say when everybody said, oh, look, he's raising from the dead? Paul said, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, why are y'all so excited? Don't y'all know Jesus raises the dead? That's not the way we do it today, is it, Jeff? Well, we see somebody get raised from the dead, we get excited, you know, praise the Lord, and I guess that's good. But we should be to the point where that if somebody brings a dead body in here and we pray over it, we should expect it to come back to life. But that don't happen very often, does it? No, it don't. Why does it not happen? Because we don't have that faith. We don't have that belief. We're living in unbelief. But when I think about that scripture, I read that and it says this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And so I think, okay, Lord, I need to pray and fast. And so I went on a 3-day fast. You know, I mean, first of all, I tried to do a 3-day fast, and after about a day and a half, I was so hungry I couldn't stand it. You know, I mean, oh, my stomach was growling, you know, oh, my goodness gracious, Lord, how could anybody go more than a day? And Lord, I'm dying. So And I thought I was, you know, I was so hungry. And so I couldn't make it. I had to eat something, you know, I just couldn't make it. And so later, somebody told me, I was telling somebody about this, and somebody told me, said, well, did you ask the Lord to take away your hunger pains? Duh. No, I never thought about that. So I thought, okay, Lord, we're going to do this again. Now, this scripture came to my mind, I know what you have need of even before you ask. So why don't we ask? You know, I mean, God wants to do something good for us, but we don't ask, right? And so I thought, okay, Lord, I got to have you to take away my hunger pains. Lord, I want to fast and pray for 3 days. And on my own, I couldn't do it. I was weak. My flesh is weak. You know, it seemed like I read that in the scripture somewhere. The flesh is weak. Y'all know what I mean? Is this flesh weak? Oh, my goodness gracious. Is it so weak? I mean, so anyway, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Will you please take away my hunger pains? And Lord, did he say pray with everything with what? Oh, yeah, but something else. At the end, what do you do at the end of every prayer? Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's right, Nancy. Praise him. Thank him for the answer. So I said, Lord, thank you for taking away my hunger pains. I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days, and I thank you for doing it. And man, I went 3 days, and I didn't have a single hunger pain, not one. I thought, man, this is so easy. I can go another three. This is no problem. But it was just going to be a 3-day fast and prayer, so I did the 3 days. And then, of course, I started eating again, and then it wasn't but a few weeks or whatever. And I said, you know, that was so easy, Lord. And I want to get my anointing greater and greater with you. I want to see you do greater and wonderful things. So, Lord, I need to do a 7-day. I think it was a 7-day or a 5-day, whatever it was. Anyway, I went to another one, and I made like a 7-day with not a single problem. But I did ask the Lord to take away my hunger pain. So I fasted and prayed for 7 days. And wow, I thought, Lord, how easy this is when you ask. Just think, I'm working every day, reading the Word all the time, and praying and thanking the Lord, and I'm sitting with people. We go into lunch at lunchtime. I sit there with them. They eat. I'm not even having a hunger pain. And in 7 days, I did this, and I thought, wow. So a few months later, I thought, Lord, every time I do this, I get more revelation. You know, as you're fasting and reading the Word, he talks to you through the Word, doesn't he, Jeff? And you get revelation. I thought, wow, look at all these good things in the Word. So I thought, Lord, I'm going to do a 10-day. So I went 10 days. And then I did a 12-day. And then I did a 14-day. And then Cheryl and I got married. And we were somewhere one day, and I prayed over a little boy. I think he had MD or something, whatever it was. And he didn't get healed. And he wanted to be healed. I had his faith built mountain high. And he wanted to be healed. I wanted to be healed. Me and Cheryl both crying over this boy. And we left. She said, honey, why did that boy not get healed? I said, because my anointing's not great enough. She said, what do you have to do to get there? I said, fast and pray. I said, Jesus fasted and prayed at the beginning of his ministry for how long? 40 days and nights and prayed. Fasted and prayed. He locked himself up out in the desert with just him and the Father for 40 days. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. And God poured the Holy Spirit out on Jesus without measure. Now, how would you like to have the Holy Ghost without measure? Oh, my goodness gracious. I think the little bit that I've got, what I've seen him do with that little bit, I think what I could do if he poured it out on me without measure like he did on Jesus. And so Cheryl asked me, what do we have to do? I said, well, Jesus fasted and prayed 40 days. So I said, we need to fast and pray for 40 days. She said, let's do it. I said, honey, you ever been on a fast? No. But I'm ready, she said. I thought, wow, this woman had never been on a fast, but for this little boy and for me, for the anointing, she is willing to go with me for 40 days and nights to fast and pray. So I said, okay, Lord, we prayed, Lord, take away our hunger pain. And Cheryl and I went 18 and a half days, and with not a single bite of food, we worked every day. I mean, it's amazing how on the 18th day, as I'm going home from here, we were still living over in Colleyville, and I was going home. I was by myself because Cheryl was getting so weak by this time, she can't hardly get out of the house. 18 days without a bite to eat. In fact, I remember that morning when I started to leave to come out here, she got up and she reached up, and I think she took one towel and she walked across over here and laid it on the washer. And she goes back and gets another one. Oh, no, she sits down first. She sits down. She laid down for a few minutes, then she gets up and go get another one. And I thought, you know, my wife has just about had it. You know, 18 days with not a bite of nothing. She's just about exhausted. So I drove the car out here, and I had to deal with some people that day. And then when I started home that evening, I'm praising the Lord, thanking Him, worshiping Him. And just as clear as a bell, I hear the Lord say, son, you're not allowed to go beyond your master. I think that's in Luke 6:40. It's at least two places in the Word of God. But you can never go beyond your master. Now, who is your master? Jesus. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I'm not trying to go beyond my master. I said, so what am I doing wrong? He said, when I sent Jesus into the wilderness, He went out there and fasted and prayed. He did not work. He just fasted and prayed for 40 days. He said, for 18 days you worked as hard as you do all the time. He said, if I allow you to go 40 days and you work all that time, you're going to have gone beyond what I allowed my son to do, and nobody can do that. So He said, today your fast is over. I said, okay, Lord. I was not trying to go beyond my master, but I said, Lord, if you tell me the fast is over, it's over. So I get home and I walk in and tell my little hound dog over here, honey, the fast is over. No, we're not stopping. We're not stopping. We're going on. I said, but honey, no, I ain't stopping. We're going on. Oh, she's saying it bold like that. She could barely talk. She's so weak. So anyway, you don't argue with a woman when she's that, you know, she's got something fixed in her head that strong. You just say, okay, honey. And so it come bedtime. We went to bed and we're laying there. Of course, I've been laying there for an hour, hour and a half, whatever. And I haven't heard her breathe or anything. I mean, she just quiet over there as she can be. I thought, well, maybe she's sleeping. So about 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought, well, Lord, you told me the fast was over. So I'm going to get up and have a cup of hot tea and I'm going to put some honey in it. And so I eased over to the side of the bed and slid out and sat up. And when I did, she said, where are you going? I said, oh, I didn't know you were awake. She said, I can't sleep. I said, well, I can't either. And I said, so I'm fixing to go make me a cup of hot tea, and I'm going to put honey in it. She said, honey, that'll break the fast. I said, I know, but honey, the Lord told me today that today was the end of our fast. So I said, I cannot disobey the king. I have to obey him. And she said, well, okay, in that case, then I'll get up and make us some tomato soup or something, and we'll have a bite to eat. So we did, had something to eat, and we went back to bed. And, of course, Shura was so weak. Yeah, she couldn't hardly do anything. And 3 days later, we had to go out of town to preach. And I had to even pull her rolling bag. She couldn't even pull. She could walk. But she couldn't even pull a rolling bag 3 days after she'd eaten for 3 days. You know, so I thought, wow, Lord, you really knew what you were talking about. If we'd have stayed another couple more days like this, Cheryl would have, he might have died. I don't know. But does God know everything? Oh, yes, the Lord knows everything, and you don't have to worry. If He's not through with you, He's not going to let you die till He's through with you. Well, He wasn't through with her. And so she was weak as a kitten. You know, I didn't have to worry about that. Boy, she was really weak. But we made it out of town. We preached, and we come home and everything. And so we've talked several times about getting back into fasting and praying. But I've come to realize that if you start to, but there's a lot of ways you can do this. And it's something I would like for us to do as a church. I would like for each one of you that's here today, if you would, to take part in this. You know, I would like for us, I know that fasting and praying is where all the power is at in God's Word. That's where it's at. And some people are happy right where they are. They don't want anything else. But I'm never happy. I'm not happy where I am. I'm not happy with the miracles I've seen. And I've seen some awesome ones. But I'm not happy. I want to go beyond. I think that the church, at least the church that comes here, we ought to be obeying God so we can see such great and awesome things, and He'll give us revelation and wisdom of what's going on in the world so we will know what to look for and how to pray for it in advance. Because, you know, we can change history. As Christians, we can change things. Many times I read Scripture, God was going to wipe out everybody. And because of somebody's prayer, He stopped and He didn't do it. You know, I mean, so God will change His mind at the prayers of faith of those that believe Him. He will do that. We've seen Him do that. So I don't know how, but y'all would like to do it, but I would like to do something like each one of us take a day. And I mean, you know, let's take a 40-day period, whatever it is, you know, a month or something, sometime in the near future, or maybe start today, I don't know, whatever. But we take a month or 40 days, I'd like to take a 40-day period, and I'd like somebody, every one of those 40 days, to have a period of time, and I don't know how we're going to divide this up, but I would like to think that you would be able to fast at least one day. In other words, if you say, I'm going to take the 15th of this month, that's going to be my day, I promise on the 15th, I will not eat anything, but I will drink water only, and I will spend time with God, I'll be in His Word, I'll try to take the day off work or be on a day that I'm off, and I will stay in God's Word. I won't go out and do anything. I will stay at home. I won't watch television. I will just fast for one 24-hour period, and I will pray for revelation, wisdom, and understanding, or whatever God moves on my heart to do something for Him for one day. Now then, I believe with all my heart that if each one of us will take a day, and maybe we'll write down people's name next Sunday or something, might be a good time. We write down people's name that you think about it this week if you want to take part in this, because I believe if you take part in what I want to do here, I believe God's going to show up and do something great for us. I believe He's going to increase every one of our anointing, don't you? If we will obey Him, because what did He say here? You know, my people, that's us. You know, if we will humble ourselves before Him and say, Lord, I will take a day. You know, I'll be willing to take one whole day, or maybe a man and his wife take one whole day and say, we will take this day, we're both off on Thursday or Saturday or whatever, and we will take that day, and we will promise that from daylight till daylight, a 24-hour period, whatever you want to take, we will not eat a single bite of food, we will stay in our house, we will read the Word of God and pray over it all day is when we're not asleep. So when we have to sleep, Lord, we'll sleep. But when we go to bed, we'll be praising You. And when we wake up, the first thing will be, we will praise You. We'll set aside a 24-hour period to totally spend it with the King. Do y'all think that this would work? You think anybody here would like to take part in that? Okay, well, praise God. That's a bunch of you. I thank the Lord. And, you know, if two of us, if there's not enough days in a 40-day period, well, we can take a man and a wife on the same day, or we can take two people can pray that same day. You know, the more, I would love it if we had enough people that a bunch this big could meet. Just think, if we had a church big enough that we could meet with this many people, and we could come and we could spend a 24-hour period together, fasting and praying together for one whole day. And then we move out and another bunch come in and fast and pray for another day. In other words, you know, if we had that kind of people and we had the number of pastors where I could be there one day and then Jeff would be there the next day, Dave could be there the next day, or Eldon could be there the next day to be in charge, and the people just fast and pray. You get on your knees, you get on the pew, you sit down. Depends on your age and how you can get around. But you fast and pray for 24 hours, and then you leave and another bunch come in. I can only imagine what God would do for us if we did that for 40 days. But we don't have that many people to do that. But I believe if we just take a little number of us, you know, like two or three of us, that will say, okay, starting next Sunday, I will take next Sunday. So, and we put your name on a list. And you say, I will take next Sunday. My wife and I, we will take next Sunday. We promise that we will not eat a bite of food. We will just lock ourselves up with God. We will spend the whole day with the Lord, and we'll fast and pray. And then Monday morning at 6 o'clock or whatever, the next man or woman or the next couple will say, we'll take the next day. And we got a whole 40 days worth of prayer covered, so that people out of this church, there will never be a broken time in 40 days that one of us or two of us at least is not committed to fasting and praying to the Lord during that 40-day period. Now, I believe with all my heart, if we will do that, God will do something great for us, don't you? He will, because He tells us that He will do it. And you can't ever tell. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we fasted and prayed like that, and then God did something so awesome beyond our wildest dreams. So if somebody came in with an arm missing or something, and God put a new one on right in front of our eyes, wouldn't it be awesome? But is He able to do that? Oh, yes, He's able to do that. So why does He not do that? If He's able to do it, why does He not do it? I'll tell you why He doesn't. Because we don't have enough faith. We don't spend enough time fasting and praying. You know, we spend too much time doing other things in the world. You know, it's so much easier. It's so much easier, especially if you're a guy, to go home on Sunday and say, well, today the Cowboys are playing, so I can't stay for church. I'm going to come to early church early in the morning, but I have no idea if the Cowboys played or anybody else played, but I don't know because I don't ever watch them. But if they had a kickoff at 11 or 12, you know, some people will say that in a church, well, I ain't going to church today because my Cowboys are playing today. Y'all know where I'm coming from? And then some people, yeah, some churches will cancel church because the Cowboys are playing. I was in the church over at Justin one time when we did that. I mean, they had the playoffs and they canceled church that Sunday because it was the Pro Bowl or whatever the thing. I don't know what it's called. Super Bowl, yeah. The Super Bowl was on that Sunday and it was at 11 o'clock and they canceled church. I stood up right in the church. I said, I can't believe y'all are going to cancel church because of the Cowboys. I said, I can't believe that. I said, you can't expect God to do nothing for us. And some of them didn't like it at all. What, Eddie? Well, yeah, if more than one of you want to be on that day, you know, you can take a day and fast and pray with these three. That's not a problem. You know, you can also be a part of that day. And then later on, you can take another one. Remember, this is only one 24-hour period. Now, whatever y'all do, you know, make that commitment. You know, make sure that if you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to do it, you do it. You know, because now God says in His Word, you don't have to make a vow to help me to do something. But if you do, He said, you better do it. Now, I know I've read that scripture where God said it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not obey it and then not do what you promised to do, because God doesn't like that. So you can pray for anything you want to. I mean, anything, everything. I mean, there's so many things going on out there right now. There's no lack of something to pray for, right? Yeah, ask the Lord to increase our anointing as a church. You know, so that we'll see more of us going out and winning souls into the kingdom of God. You know, light our fire, Lord. You know, give us, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and 6, Lord, increase our anointing, increase our knowledge and wisdom and revelation and understanding. Anything you want to pray, you know, just ask the Lord. You can pray. You can pray for a lot of things, can't you? Yeah, you can really pray for a lot of things. So, you know, just ask the Lord to bless us, to bless our church, and to bless you, you know, and everything. We want to see Him do some awesome things, because if there was ever a time, in fact, you know, it might not be a bad idea for those of us that haven't made a commitment yet, since we're looking at this crazy thing that could happen starting tomorrow, you know, whenever the governor of New York said he's going to use force, and you said he's going to bring the Marines in, I shudder to think what might happen in New York City tomorrow. It might not be a bad deal. In fact, we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for that right here before we leave today, because I just feel so uncomfortable about what the enemy could do, because I know that when we take the presence of God out, what could happen in New York City tomorrow? There is a possibility that there could be a riot, and if there's a riot, there's a possibility that people could get killed. You know, and all these people that are up there, these young people, like this one girl, I listened to her mother on the Hannity show last week. She said, Hannity, my daughter called me. She lives in New York, goes to school in New York, and it's been requested of her to be at this meeting, this protest in Wall Street. And I asked her, I said, well, what's it going to gain you? She said, Mom, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm doing it. They just asked me to do it. I think it'll be fun. So she has no idea what she's doing. You know, and is there a lot of sheep out there in the world like that? Oh, there's a lot of people. Yeah, did you? Oh, some of them are volunteers. Some of them are being paid then. Wow. Okay, so Well, that's maybe where Eric Canton, he said he believes Obama is behind this. He is the one that's doing this. Now, I hate to even think about the president of the United States being behind something like this. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. But it may be, you know, we're in perilous times right now. Yeah, this man from Israel, Steve Golden, the Golden Report. We got a copy of his report last night, and he said he had a dream, and he saw this huge number of people in Tel Aviv, you know, a big protest of some kind going on, and then he saw the thing move to New York City. Then he saw it move to many cities in the United States of America. And then, you know, he says that then he began to see devastating things. He said it looked like the Lord had taken me to Africa, because he said the majority of the people at these protests were black people. So he said, I thought I was in Africa. But, you know, you can be in a protest in the United States of America today, and most of them can be black. You know, so we got black people and white people and brown people and every kind of people. We got multitudes of every kind. But he said, what I saw was the children had flies all over them, and the stench was terrible. So that could be some kind of death and destruction that's fixing to happen. And that may be why the Lord's telling us we need to pray, because if there's anything I don't want to see, I don't want some of these people that are young people that don't have a clue why they're protesting get involved in something that turns into a riot and a bunch of them get killed. You know, I don't want to see that, because, you know, that might be my children. You know, it could be it's somebody's children, and we do not want them to get hurt, do we? So I would just recommend that we've got the people that's going to pray starting next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they're going to fast and pray on those days. I would like to ask all of you that would take a few minutes each day, or maybe several times a day, or maybe pick a day this week and say, Lord, I'm going to fast Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to fast and pray for all those people up there in New York and all these other cities. There's almost 1,000 cities now that are doing the protest in the United States of America. So anyway, I'll just let you choose the day you want, because I know what happens when we pray and fast. God does awesome things. I'll tell you what I will do. When we start this in a few minutes, and I realize it's almost time to quit already, it's 4 o'clock. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I don't care if you sit down, stand up, or whatever you do, there's no problem. I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, I may just sit down, and then if anybody else wants to pray, like Eldon, you want to pray, you can stand or sit or whatever you want to do and pray. And until we get through, I don't know how long it'll take, you might won't feel led just to voice a prayer today, you know, and so we may be here for several minutes, you know, or who knows how long, but we'll just turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you move on our hearts, you have us pray for what you want to, and we'll just have a time of closing this afternoon service with prayer. Is that okay with everybody? Everybody? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, I just worship you, Master. I literally worship you, Lord. You are the King. You're our Master, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Provider. And Lord, there's so many things going on in the world today, and I know none of them's catching you by surprise. But Lord, we ask you to soften the hearts of men and women that are involved in all these things that are bringing death and destruction to our country, as well as other countries in the world. It's happening everywhere, Lord. So, Lord, I ask you to be merciful to us. Lord, we remit the sins of people, and we ask you to convict people of sin so they will get rid of their sins, so they can walk holy and obedient to your word. And, Lord, I really ask you to move on the hearts of the church, and the young and old and middle-aged in the church, that we will get a hold of your holiness and how you love for us to worship you, Lord. And we need to humble ourselves in your presence and worship you. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're such an awesome God. And Lord, I thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for us here in this little group. I thank you for all the people that's been saved, all the people that's been healed and delivered, all the miracles I've seen you do right here in this little building. I'm so grateful for all of them, Master, because you've done them all. I only got to touch them or pray for them in your name, but you did it all. And Lord, I praise you for that. And I pray, Lord, as we continue to to minister to people, that you will continue to bring more people into the kingdom of God and gloriously save them and deliver them. Lord, teach them who you are. People today need to know who you are. And Lord, I just worship you and I praise you. And Lord, as you touch our hearts this week, we will stop and voice a prayer at different times. And Lord, if you move on our hearts to take a particular day to fast, this fast and pray every once in a while. We will do without food for one day. And as we drive down the road, we'll talk to you. As we stop, we'll talk to you. We'll go ahead and work and do our thing that we got to do. But we'll fast for that one day, a 24-hour period. And every time we're not talking to somebody else, we'll be talking to you. And we'll be praising you and thanking you and worshiping you. And in the process, we'll ask for things that we want you to do to our nation and our country and to change it and to change us and make us more like you. Lord, we thank you for softening our hearts, making us more like you so we can be about your business. Now, Lord, I just praise you and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Wow. Lord, I ask that you create a fire here today.
Amen.
Not a little fire, Lord, but a fire that's started, that grows and grows into a bonfire, Lord. A fire that spreads from one to another, that jumps out of this place.
Amen.
To the places around, Lord. A fire that's a consuming fire, that people will fall on their faces before you and say, why have I not seen you before, Lord Jesus? And they will change and change and change. Lord, we're a small group here today, but you only needed one person to stand in the gap for a nation. You only
Amen.
Needed one.
Amen.
And we're standing here together, Lord, today, now, and asking you in the name of Jesus to pour out your Spirit in
Amen.
This great land of ours, Lord,
Amen.
To turn the faces of the children back to the Father, namely to you.
Yes,
we're
Lord.
One nation. We're under God, and we declare that we're under God today, Lord.
Yes,
we're
Lord.
We're founded under God, and we're
Amen.
Under God now, and we openly decree that and declare that
Amen.
And thank you for it, Father. Have mercy on us,
Amen.
Lord. Have mercy. Pour out your mercy on us and turn our hearts back to you, Lord, as a nation. We thank you for this fire, Lord, that's here burning now. And
Amen.
That you're augmenting and augmenting by thy Spirit, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for it and praise you for it, Lord. Let it jump from this place to the cities around and the states around and to our nation, Lord, to our capital, to Washington, D.C., to New York City, to the coast, both coasts, East Coast and West Coast, Lord. Let it jump from here to there like a forest fire jumps from one tree to another tree to another tree, a fire that cannot be quenched, Lord, because it's founded in you,
yes,
because
Lord.
It's your fire.
Yes,
it's
Lord.
Your anointing.
Yes,
Lord, it's your fire. We ask you for it in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and you said if we ask anything, anything, anything in the name of Jesus, that you do it for us.
Yes,
you promised that to us, Lord. So we ask it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. We give you praise and glory that we won't go down, but we will come up
Amen.
As a leader, as a leader in Christ in this world. This nation will come up, not down, but up, Lord, higher than it's ever been.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you in the name of Jesus, and all the saints said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the one thing I haven't said at all, I want to praise the King for the rain we had. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, we are so grateful for all that wonderful rain that you sent to us. We so dearly needed that, and the farmers so dearly needed it. And we just want to thank you and praise you. As I stood out last night and this morning, too, in the doorways of the church, I was just worshiping him for this rain, but I wanted to do it publicly. I think we should never forget to praise him and worship him for everything. So praise the Lord. I felt like I've been to church today. Praise the Lord. Wow. Yes, Lord, I ask you to bless everyone that's here. Lord, thank you Thank you, Lord, for giving me my stabilization back. I've knelt there so long, my feet don't want to work. But Lord, thank you for restoring the feelings in my knees and my feet. And as the blood flows again, I'll be able to balance perfectly like I always do. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for blessing everyone here today. And I thank you for all these wonderful prayers they prayed to you because they were to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for what you're going to do with all these people. And Lord, how you're going to use us mightily. And those that have already agreed to start next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I ask you to help them and help them. I ask you to take away their hunger pain for that 24-hour period that they've already committed to you. And as each one of us commits at another date to take one, we ask you to take away our hunger pain so we'll be able to concentrate on just you and your word and prayer. And Lord, I praise you and thank you that as we pray, I know there's times when we'll pray a little while and then we'll run out of something to say. When we run out of something to praise you and thank you for, may we open the word and just read and study the word, and you'll give us more things to think, to pray for, and to praise you for. So as long as we have your word, we know that one 24-hour period, except for the few hours we're sleeping, is not going to be that long. When we spend time with you, a day goes by so quickly when you've got the word. So, Lord, I praise you and thank you for blessing each one of us and each one of those that have committed for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Bless them and bless us all this week. And, Lord, send us out. And, Lord, I thank you for sending us out this week to produce fruit for your kingdom. And may much fruit be produced. And I thank you and praise you for a beautiful trip to California and back tomorrow and Saturday. And may you anoint us with the Holy Spirit and power Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night as we teach your word. May the people be blessed because of your word. And we thank you for this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.